What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Sync Boys podcast.
Sync Boys!
You know, we've been away for a bit, but you know, we're still bringing the heat. You better believe it. Joe, right off the bat, I want to ask you a question. So on the Steve Dangle podcast, Adam Wilde brought up the idea that how in soccer leagues overseas, there's a lot more focus and a lot more prioritization slash regular season champions is celebrated a lot more. Do you feel like the NFL, the MLB, the NHL, the NBA, do you think we overlook the regular season champion too much because the playoffs is like a whole nother sport, a whole nother season?
Not necessarily. Like, in the NBA, the regular season champion, like, dude, the Suns were by far the regular season champion this year. They were higher by like 9 games, and they lost to the 4 seed in the second round. Like, and how many games were the Suns? Like, the Suns were healthy the entire season. Mm-hmm. How many teams, like, throughout any sport throughout the regular season are not healthy for a period? Like, the Warriors are a perfect example, dude.
Mm-hmm.
At pretty much every point in the season, they had one, at least, maybe two of their stars on the bench. Like, what's a win against the Warriors in the regular season mean? Nothing, because they didn't have everybody out there. But once they did, they mowed through everyone. We said it throughout the whole playoffs. And, dude, the playoffs is a longevity thing. Like, to be, like, the NFL is different because it's like, it's one game. Like, dude, the Giants Super Bowls, as much as we, like, brag about them, it was one game mm-hmm. in where their defense actually shined more than the offense did in every one of those games that they won on those runs. And it's Eli Manning, dude. Like, Tom Brady winning 7 Super Bowls is way more, you know, like, meaningful to me because he's done it over the course of 20 years. But, like, the two, like, quick Super Bowls that Eli got when the rest of his career was losing, no. But to kind of round out that answer, when you have to play 16 games like the NHL and the NBA in a row against the best teams in the league, that's way more impressive to end up on top of it.
So the kind of argument that they made was, you know, you're playing every team in the league opposed to half the league. You could dispute that argument with just you're playing overall better competition. It was just outrageous to me to hear that take, because I was trying to play devil's advocate here on the other side of the way that you stand. There is no standing point. Yeah, you beat the Trailblazers and the Rockets. You beat the Blackhawks and the Sabres. Like, these aren't teams that are competing for anything. Yeah, it's a new season pretty much when you get to the playoffs. Yeah, the game might be called a little differently, but everybody wants to see the best against the best. That's the whole intrigue about sports. You can't crown a regular season champion and have that hold any weight if they got knocked down in the first or second round.
A perfect example is the Panthers and the Flames this year, dude. Those teams were borderline unstoppable in the regular season. And when it came time for everybody to start watching and for everyone to know that these games matter, dude, I don't know if you remember this stuff when you played varsity football, but it's like when I played varsity baseball and we were in a county game or we were even against a regular rival, it feels different. And I folded a bunch of times. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I folded. It would be like bottom of the 6th inning, we're up 1 run and there's a guy on 2nd and they hit a grounder to center. And the ball gets fucking behind me because I'm too nervous about that one little moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, playoffs in a professional sport have that weight and bring you that feeling, even as a fan, as a player. Like, yes, winning those games is way more impressive, dude. I'm shitting bricks on grounders to center.
Yeah, I have a little tale of my own. We were in the semifinals before the championship, and there was a, I wasn't having a great game the whole game. It was my birthday. And I didn't tell anybody on the team, but it was still like a lot of pressure. And I was a junior. It was my first year starting. We were in a playoff game that if you won, you go to the championship at MetLife, and the other team's driving down the field, and they didn't pass the ball a lot. And I'm playing safety, and they finally throw it to my side. And little 170-pound, 5'9", Jack throws his full body weight into this kid while he's trying to catch a ball and tiptoe it. And he makes the catch. I didn't really do anything. And I let up a huge play. And it was like a 3rd and 20. And they got it. And I blew it. It's, dude, there is so much on the line. It is not, like, when you're playing a regular season game, like, half your guys could be dogging it. Like,
dude, that reminds me of that play, the Diggs sideline touchdown. Like, Marcus Williams was the guy.
I think that's his name.
Dude, he was just trying to make the play. He knew the game was on the line. Diggs knew the game was on the line. Dude, Diggs didn't really go up for that like it was, like, you know, the be-all, end-all. He really just, like, raised up maybe, like, 6 inches off the ground, caught it right in front of his face, and Marcus Williams just happened to totally miss. Like, but being Marcus Williams, it's like you are doing everything in your power on that play to try to read the quarterback and all this, that, and a third. And, like, not everybody's built for that moment, dude. It's really all I could say, like, to a certain extent, where I'm more talking about the one percenters that nothing phases them whatsoever. Like, I guess Kobe, Steph are good examples, you know, like Jordan. But that's where legends are made, dude. There's a reason why we put those guys on a pedestal. It's because they do it when it matters the most.
Yeah, they
Tom Brady
perform in the biggest moments. So that kind of shuts the door on that conversation. Totally disagree with those guys. Still love the podcast. Big time players up in big games. That's all I gotta say.
Look good, feel good, play good. Big time players make big time plays. Let's fucking go.
Yes, guys. So we're gonna jump right into the MLB trade deadline. See, we kind of loosely follow the sport. Joe's a Yankees fan, I'm a Red Sox fan. We're not having a great year. You know, the Yankees pulled away at the very beginning, and it's kind of been catch up.
Holy shit, dude. Don't act like it was just the beginning of the year we went on a run. We just won our 70th game yesterday. Like 10 days after the All-Star.
I wasn't taking anything away from them. I was just speaking from a Red Sox standpoint. And the Yankees pulled away at the very beginning, and all the other AL East teams have been trying to play catch up the whole year, and they're just not as deep. They're not as good. They're not getting as many wins, and the Yankees have locked up that top spot in the AL, and they made some pretty good adds. You know, their rotation is pretty solid throughout the whole season, but they shipped one out and got one in. I think they got a second arm, that Efros guy, but Frankie Montas from the A's. He was the Athletics ace this year.
Dude, I really hope he pans out. There's a lot of guys. Like, me and Jack last night were watching the Yankee game, and in the eighth inning, that guy, Scott Efros, I don't know if you knew this, was pitching. And he was sweating uncontrollably. His face was red. He was shaking his balls off.
He was like,
oh, no. He was just like, like exactly what we just said with me in center field on a ground ball when there was a guy on second. Was him. Like, it was like every single pitch he was praying to fucking God that it wasn't going to be hit out of the park. And the dude hit a ball to the right field warning track. And you could see this guy go, woo! Catches the ball, like, shaking, going back to the mound. Like, wow, it got really off track there. But that guy's a reliever. I just hope that, like, coming to New York and knowing that they have a chance to win the World Series, these guys aren't going to fold. I feel like the expectations when you come to the Yankees organization is so fucking high. Like, Benintendi has, like, gotten one hit or two hits with the Yankees since he got traded.
It's the market, too. The thing about Benintendi is I know him well from the Red Sox. I was a big fan of him ever since he got called up. And You know, he started off strong. He was a good 1-2 hole guy, and then he kind of fell off. I think the market got to him. It was a little bit too much pressure. We won a World Series championship in 2018, but you know, he wasn't really a bat in that. You know, it was, we had so many other guys. We had Mookie, JD, Devers, Jackie Bradley was stepping up. Steve Pierce won World Series MVP. So Benny, he's going to be a defensive asset, but maybe a little bit of a liability at the plate.
I mean, dude, the guy they replaced was Joey Gallo, who, you know, dude's like probably 6'3", 215, can run and has a cannon. So, like, it's definitely, like, a big shoes to fill in terms of fielding the ball. But once Stanton comes back, they're going to have, I guess, Benintendi in left, Judge in right, or Judge in center, Stanton in right.
Actually, probably DH Stanton, and you could have like a rotating cast of, yeah, like Hicks. Because any of those guys, probably Benny has to stay in left, but any of those guys can play center. I'd say probably put Judge in right. Doesn't have to cover as much ground. I know he's really fast, really athletic, but you really want to like your biggest arm in right. But
anyway, Yankee Stadium, probably not. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a small outfield and right field at Yankee Stadium. I would play Judge in center. There's so much more ground to cover in center field. But
the Yankees look like they got better. Team's already really great. They got a lot of hitters. They're a scary squad. I think it's all going to fall on pitching and rotation. And they added, but we'll see how they do. Gerrit Cole fell apart in the wild card game last year. Hopefully he can have a good postseason this year.
Dude, you know, Gerrit Cole, I saw his rumor at Applebee's just now on the bottom line of ESPN. He's given up the second most home runs in the AL this year.
Yeah.
Or in the MLB.
AL.
And he's like 9-3 as a starter with like a 3.03 ERA. But you can't be just giving up those tee shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what are you worth, dude? All right, you had a 3-hit game, but all of them were fucking home runs.
Yeah.
And we lost 3-2. Thanks, dude. Wow, I'm being really fucking harsh right now.
Well, it kind of comes with being a Yankees fan, and the Yankees market is like, you can pay all these guys. You have pretty much an unlimited payroll, and you have such a stacked team right now that you look for the little imperfections and things to get mad at. And you know, if you really look hard enough, you could find some, but because no team's ever going to be perfect, but the Yankees are freaking deep, man.
Yeah, deep stuff in the worm. They also got Matty Carp's cleanup spot. He plays outfield, but he's like,
yeah, he's probably like the 7th best hitter on the team. It's crazy. Dude, I put him around the Hicks range, but you got DJ, Donaldson, you got Judge, Stanton.
Rizzo,
like
Benintendi.
I mean, dude, he
will probably catch fire. Hopefully, it's at the right time. But you don't go from batting 316 to now you're not that. You know what I'm saying? Like one day later, I understand like pressure the first couple games, first couple weeks, but like he'll wake up. He seems like he's happy.
I feel like you're kind of playing with house money though. When you're on like the Royals, nobody's really paying attention to you. You're an all-star just because of your average, pretty much. Like he has 3 home runs on the year. Dude, you're playing with house money. The pressure doesn't even exist in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. But especially with how they were what team was playing.
But talk about pressure this year. The Padres almost closed the gap against the Dodgers in late July, and then the Dodgers went on an absolute tear, winning like 12 of 14 games or something, completely widening that gap. But the Padres added the biggest name. I didn't even think this guy was going to go by the trade deadline. I thought he was too big of a name. It was too on short notice that he was unhappy. Like the All-Star game was when all this stuff started breaking, and that was mid-July. and he got traded a couple days ago. Dude, like, yeah. 2 weeks? It's not a lot of time for all this stuff to resolve itself, but Padres added. They sent, I think, 5 prospects and Luke Voit to the Nationals for Juan Soto and Josh Bell. Not just Juan Soto. Josh Bell as well. Guy's a great hitter. Guy's an excellent first baseman. Have all of our good pieces. We'll take your young question marks. Juan Soto, everybody's already calling this guy like a generational talent, top 5 player in the league, all this stuff. Would have been really fun to see him on the Yankees, but I don't think there's enough room for him and Judge. So
I think Judge is gonna win. We'll talk about that. Just like who says, yeah, there's a lot of great Yankees. You know, you'll remember me as a great Yankee. Don't worry about it. Fuck you. Anyway.
Like, you heard that quote. That wasn't just me relaying it to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was during an interview on Twitter. But
after the game. At the All-Star game, actually.
Yeah. But the Padres, Machado, Tatis is coming back. Now they got Soto. They also added Josh Hader. He's considered one of the best closers in the game. See if the Padres can make a run, but they're going to be a team going forward. Got 3 real big pieces. Machado is in the MVP, the NL MVP conversation for a little bit this year. They got 3 great players over there. But moving on to the Stroh show, almost just got swept by the Sox. Yikes. I flip on Twitter probably 20 minutes before the game on Monday, and Christian Vasquez gets traded to the Astros. The Red Sox are playing the Astros. They're in Houston. He's like being asked questions because the news just breaks and he's right outside the dugout and he's getting bombarded by media. And one of the Red Sox like coaches or something like pulls him out of there. It's like, dude, imagine getting traded to the team you're playing. You get pulled out of the game like, oh, I was going to start tonight. Made his debut on the Astros yesterday. It's a good ad. He's a good catcher, man. He can hit. He's a good all-around player. He's never going to be anything special, but he'll hit a ding-dong here and there. He'll get some clutch hits. He's got a whole bunch of playoff experience. He's a great player.
Dude, I don't really know much about him. Dude, I don't understand, like, the MLB trade line, there was a – I think I counted that the Yankees by themselves had 5, and I understand they were big, you know, big buyers and sellers at the deadline, but I feel like the MLB trade deadline has more trades than any other sport does at the deadline. I feel like a lot of teams in the NBA stay put at the deadline, a lot of teams in the NFL even, dude.
Dude, I feel like the NFL I don't see any is mid-season. Silent.
Yeah, yeah, I don't see any mid-season moves in the NFL. Is there even a trade deadline?
Like, you'll see, remember Melvin Ingram went to the Chiefs late last year?
That was a trade? I'm pretty sure he got cut, dude.
Exactly. It's like, yikes. Von Miller to the Rams from the Broncos. Was that a trade?
It had to have been. Dude. I think that the Broncos cut him because he was too expensive.
Dude, it had to have been a trade. He was playing with the Broncos earlier in the season. And why would they cut him if they could trade him for value?
That's how it works, dude.
But not mid-season. It's not like a...
Dude, I guess you're right. I have no clue what happened.
I think it was a trade. But back on the MLB, I know it's not the most interesting sport in the world. Trey Mancini made his debut also for the Astros yesterday. Came over from the Orioles. This guy beat cancer. And then I think afterward signed an extension with the Orioles.
What do you
That's
mean?
Loyalty. That's like, I just look death in the face, beat it up, and then re-signed with one of the worst franchises in baseball, saying, I want to be here when they turn it around. What a guy.
I mean, dude, he probably had a lot of people that were in his corner. when he was at his lowest there. That was probably the easiest decision he ever had to make.
He totally could have been like, life's too short. I want to win a championship.
I think that's shallow. Actually, really shallow.
I don't think it's that shallow.
Life or death situation, and you're going to immediately... Dude, he could have cancer tomorrow. Cancer doesn't just go away forever. It could come back like that with people that have had cancer. And he's probably thinking about that all the time, dude. I would probably would have wanted to stay in Baltimore. Actually, it's fucked up that they traded him. Fuck the Orioles. I was a big Orioles guy maybe like 2 weeks ago. Fuck the Orioles.
They traded him because he's a valuable asset. And they got stuff.
Now we're talking about business. Dude, you went from like life or death decision, like...
I don't understand some of your takes sometimes. I think you straight up just try to oppose me.
No, definitely not on this one. No. I don't like emotional attachment to an organization, like a bad one, like we're talking about, is the opposite side of the spectrum as ruthless business decision. So which side are you taking?
I'm talking about the player being loyal to his squad. Exactly. And how that's commendable.
Yeah, but then you're also like, yeah, it's like a business decision.
He didn't ask to be traded.
Yeah, but the team.
Dude, who
never
am
mind,
I?
Dude, who am I to
judge the Orioles, dude? Aside. I don't
what
care.
What do you mean? I hate that.
Why?
Because our job is to judge people. That's why we're doing this. Yeah, dude.
Dude, I don't give a damn about the Orioles.
Okay, dude, I'm not saying that we have to care about it. I'm saying that us doing this is like us putting out our opinions on people, decisions, teams, organizations, coaches, no matter okay. What it is, dude, it's our opinion. I lost our train of thought, our collective train. Dude, what are we talking about?
My stance, commendable. This guy probably could have gone anywhere, decided to re-sign with one of the worst franchises in the league. The business and the team, they traded him for assets. They might get him back next year.
Next year, bro. What is this, a fairy tale? That's not this isn't an hour and a half movie, dude, where this shit, they just cut scene to like the deadline the next year or the off season.
So the last team I wanted to talk about was the New York Mets.
Yeah.
They had this guy, Darren Ruff. He's a first baseman, DH. I really know nothing about him.
Nothing.
But I looked up this little list beforehand of the top signings and tradings, and that was one of them. I am rooting for the Mets this postseason.
Yeah, I wouldn't be definitely my NL team.
I wouldn't be too mad about the Yankees. I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan, but you know that the hate isn't really. I'm really just annoyed by the Yankees fans, but I don't really hate the Yankees. Like the team is like borderline likable. Like,
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I was a Rizzo. Big fan of Donaldson when he was on the Jays, dude. Who else? DJ Rizzo LeMay. Rizzo is a lovable guy.
Yeah,
that guy is like probably the coolest guy in any room that he's in. DJ LeMayu, great player. He seems like he's really focused, like just really just wants to succeed all the time, really driven. And
Judge is just a fucking superhero too.
And I hate Garrett Cole. That's a little bit.
He just looks like he doesn't care.
I don't know, the whole spider tack thing like last year or 2 years ago, like that really like set me off. Like,
what the fuck is a spider tack?
It was, remember when they outlawed all the substances that like helped the spin rate and all that? Like, apparently he was heavily using that, and he was like, you know, a lot of our guys like in the league that are pitching, this is actually how he talks. You know, we really relied on that. You know, we grew up using that. We've never really gripped a baseball barehanded, you know, that we've always had some stuff. And
what a fucking pussy, dude. I don't want to talk about him ever again on this show.
All right. So
unless
can we
he's
call
starting
him
in like the ALCS. I guess. I mean, I hate him. I don't hate him that much. I'm just like, I don't want to think about it. Yikes. I don't think that's better.
But we have the MLB playoffs and the MLB season winding down soon. We got our players. I really like the Mets. I really like what they're doing. DeGrom didn't have a great first. Actually, he did. They just pulled him too early. Him and Scherzer, that's really scary going into any playoff series. And I think the Mets are players. The Astros are going to be right back in the ALCS just like they are every year. The Dodgers, I didn't bring them up. I don't know if they made a massive amount of moves or any big names, but I think they're always deep. They're kind of like the Yankees before the Yankees. They're just always, they have a lot of money.
Dude, they're so fucking deep.
Yeah.
Dodgers?
They still have guys like Justin Turner. Like now they have Trey Turner from the Nationals. They have Max Muncy, who just came up and he's a great player. And they got Kershaw and Walker Buehler. They're just a really deep team. So they're going to be in it. We'll see how far the Padres go. But it doesn't look like my Sockies are going to make it, even though they kind of bought at the deadline.
You were talking about how in the beginning of the season, the Yankees ran away with the AL East at least. Dude, the fucking Blue Jays are like in second place right now, and they're like 3 games above 500. And the Red Sox are 1 game below 500, I believe. Like, it's close between the other three teams, but the Yankees are so fucking far ahead. And I think the Dodgers are going to beat the Yankees in the old LA New York World Series. Maybe the Padres make a run for the Dodgers, but dude, the Dodgers are a fucking freight train. They have some hitters over there, dude. Holy shit.
I can't believe you're saying that as a Yankees fan. Like, your team is the team with the hitters. Dude, I just think that the Dodgers are very, very well rounded. Right now, Toronto has the top wild card spot. They're 8 games above 500. No, 12 games above 500. Seattle's 8 games above 500 in the second spot, and Tampa holds the third spot, 6 games above 500. The Sox are the fourth team outside of the wild card, and they are an even 500.
Yeah, I mean, that series against the Astros definitely did them some good.
But you have, if we include the top of the wild card, you have 7 teams within 5 wins of each other. That's tight.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the Sox schedule, and I was trying to see maybe there's a chance we sneak in. I was the fact that we haven't won a single series against an AL East opponent the entire season.
Yeah, super.
Not even the Orioles. Like, just cut your losses. This season's over. Like, I'm not going to say tank, but if anybody is feeling 50% or 75% or 90%. If there's somebody that doesn't feel 100% ready to play each game, don't risk them. Don't risk injury. Give JD, Devers, and Xander some rest days here and there. We need their longevity. We need to re-sign them. This year is 2022 is not our year. So,
all right, I feel like I have to say this. So, Jack's friend Sharif is really good at blackjack and really good at gambling in general. And me and Jack put down baseball parlays sometimes, right?
And we watch baseball every day. We watch baseball every fucking day.
Do the research before this, that, and the third. Sharif last night was like, I think I'm going to put a parlay down. Let's trail each other, you know, tail each other, whatever you call it. My parlay went 2 for 2 if the Marlins win. And, or 2 and 2. Jack's parlay, how did you do today?
I think it was a 6-legger. I know I picked the Mariners in one. I'm just going to say I went 500. Maybe I just have no idea.
All right, so based off everything I just said about Sharif, he pretty much doesn't know anything about baseball, and he puts together this nine-legger with one. Okay, so it was two underdogs, but he picked the Phillies to beat the fucking Braves.
And we that both took the Braves to cover.
Unbelievable. The Braves win. He picked the Twins to beat the Tigers, which was an easy one. I picked the Rangers over the Oilers. Over the Orioles because Martin Perez. Dude, he's unfucking believable this season. I'm pretty sure he's an all-star. He's pitching against the Orioles, who aren't that good. The fucking Orioles win. He picked it. Astros beat the Sox. That one, you know, it wasn't really hard to pick that one. And then the Mets beat the Nationals. And he has the Marlins to beat the Reds without contra pitching. Alcantara? Really? I got it?
Alcantara.
I'm so bad at names recently, dude.
I think you just missed the A in between the T and the R.
And I'm
you always say Alcantara.
Yeah, dude. I'm so bad at fucking names in those two sports. Marlins are up 3-0 in the middle of the eighth inning at home, so they have to get three outs. The Brewers are up 4-2 in the bottom of the fourth. He took the Brewers over the Pirates, which Pirates are one of the worst teams in the MLB.
Yeah, I think the Brewers were pretty heavy favorites.
They were -210. And then the Dodgers are pitching Urias against the Giants, who's pitching Cobb. But the Dodgers are -162 favorites. That's the last leg. So as of right now, his nine picks, eight of them look fucking solid. And the Dodgers are a good bet any night of the week, no matter who's pitching or what's going on. And they're actually on the road, but still, dude. Like, Sharif, what the fuck, dude? This guy has good for you. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, and I'm happy I was gonna say, I can't even get mad because we tailed it. But at the same time, it's like, what? How?
Unbelievable, dude. Unfucking believable. Sorry, I just like have FanDuel open and I'm just like looking down at it every so often. I had to mention it. All right, you good on baseball?
Yeah, we're good on baseball. I just wanted to touch on one thing in the NHL. Pierre-Luc Dubois, third overall pick in the 2016 draft, voiced his displeasure for playing for the Blue Jackets. He's only like 23 at the time, and he asks for a trade. He gets traded 1-for-1 for the second overall pick, the same draft, Patrick Laine, because he wasn't happy where he was at. Laine now just re-signed. I think he took an 8-year deal or a 5-year deal. Yikes. Probably should know that. And he's happy in Columbus. They just got Johnny Hockey. They got a bunch of young guys coming up. Jake Voracek, great goalie core, pretty good defense. They're going to be pretty set. Pierre-Luc Dubois is not happy in Winnipeg. And it leaked out recently that he wanted to go play for his hometown Habs. Dude, what do you think about a 24-year-old, 4 years into his career, 5 years into his career, having already asked for two trades?
I don't think I've seen any situation like this before in any other sport.
He's a great player. He puts up numbers.
How good is he? Like, how much pull does he really have?
He's like a Kadri. Like, if Kadri's here, he's like there. He's like top of the line, second line center, very like average to like above average top line center.
I mean, dude, he's so young. Like, if it doesn't work out on the next team, like, where is his passion? Where does it lie? Because it's hard to jump from team to team to team and develop chemistry and develop your own game. Because, like, playing with your teammates is only going to result in better play individually. So, like, if he stayed on the same team for a bunch of years without requesting trades, like, maybe he is that above average first line center.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, I think it's weird. I think it's weird, and I don't really like it. I think I'm officially not a fan of this guy.
I think you and me are big time, like, principal loyalty guys, and it's like, that's complete opposite.
It makes sense for everybody to do that.
You know, they took you in the draft. They didn't have to draft you.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's definitely where I stand. I am not a multimillionaire playing a professional sport, so I don't know what it's like.
Neither do I. I don't do that either.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what it is. Best quarterback in the league on my back.
Who's that, Kerry Collins?
Shut the fuck up. Danny Dimes.
Giants are looking up. You want to talk about the Giants for a little bit?
And yes.
We'll go into the AFC.
I do. Thanks for asking me.
Training camp.
Dude, training camp is training camp. But, like, Dable and Shane, when they get up on the podium, they're both just like, yeah. Like, this is about it. We're about to fuck shit up. Like, we got a good thing going. And then, like, there's a couple, like, keywords and key phrases that I'm kind of catching on to. Like, in the beginning, before they started, like, really practicing, Dable was like, yeah, I want Daniel Jones to feel comfortable taking risks. So there's that. And then today, we listened to a Kadarius Toney interview, and what I picked up on was he was like, the routes themselves and the play calls are more flexible, and they rely on your chemistry with the quarterback. Which tells me that it's going to be like either an in or a flag, like option route for the receiver. And that's where the chemistry comes in, is like Daniel Jones being able to read the corner and knowing that Tony's going to hit the flag because the corner is going to cut the route on the in route. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's, I think, the risks that Dable was talking about. Was like getting comfortable taking risks in general, but then understanding that this is like a foreshadowing to where they're going to want to be at in a couple months, which is an ideology that I didn't think Judge had. Like, Judge was just strict, just like everything needs to be this way, or you guys are fucking up.
Now, I know you're a big time Daniel Jones guy. Could you remove that bias? You don't have to take the shirt off, but could you figuratively take that jersey off your back and think, unbiased, do you think that he will be able to be successful in a complete read and chemistry offense when passing the ball? That's something that I'm really worried about hearing, actually, because he seems like a guy that struggles to make decisions, hesitates. We'll see how much he's improved in that facet of the game. But I could see a lot of throwing the ball the wrong way, thinking he's going the other way, mistakes this year.
It's a good point. I definitely think that is probably going to happen a lot even. But
yeah, like 1, 2, 3 times, like no problem, as long as they're not all picks. But like if it's kind of like consistently happening throughout the whole year, it's like, I don't know.
It's also like reps type of thing. Dude, if talk of Tyrod Taylor gets mentioned at all during the season, like, it's going to fucking drive me insane, number one.
It's going to happen.
I know. I'm just telling you. Those are going to be some of my biggest rants, is talking about fucking Tyrod Taylor. Because we know what Tyrod Taylor is. He's not 10th year in going to all of a sudden elevate this team to what we thought it was going to be in the first place. We don't gain anything by investing time on the field into Tyrod Taylor. He is a mentor, and to be a mentor strictly, in my mind, we don't gain anything as an organization putting him on the field. It's just like not like it, but kind of like the Geno Smith for Eli Manning. We're not fucking gaining anything here. Why are you making that move? But in terms of what you're talking about with, like, do I think that he's capable of it with the unbiased? Dude, what physical tool does he not have?
But that's what it is, dude. It's physical. Why is Tom Brady a good quarterback?
It reads.
All mental. It's also the offense, smart,
dude. Like, like he played what 18, 19, 20 years in a system offense where literally anybody that they plugged in was going to be successful if they just followed the system. Anyone, dude, they didn't have any big name like receivers. If there was a big name receiver, it's because their name was made being on that team for like 3-4 years.
But that's the thing. That's one of the big things about the paths throughout his whole tenure is that like the best receiver they had was Randy Moss at the tail end of his career, and nobody even close.
Wes Welker, Deion Branch,
Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola,
Gronk. I mean, yeah, Gronk, but Gronk is a tight end in a system offense where, dude, like in his case, speed is not on his side. Size was on his side, and his quarterback was on his side, and his hands. So it's like the physical tools were there, and he plugged into the system, and it worked out in everybody's favor. But like when it comes to everything else, dude, like those three guys that we mentioned made a name for themselves on the Patriots. Can you even name another one? I can't. And they've drafted first round receivers in the past, and how many of them have ever panned out? Mm-hmm. None of them. N'Keal Harry just got traded in the offseason this year, dude. After having no success for a team that made it to the playoffs last year.
To an even worse receiver core than the Pats.
Unbelievable.
He's like the best name in that group.
That's crazy.
But
mentally, yes, dude, but I think it's going to come with time. And I think that he doesn't have it necessarily, and especially with having a competent quarterback in, you know, the background, that's not going to help his case, dude.
He needs to be given a leash this year, and whatever leash that is, it has to be extended. Like if they're going to give him like an 8-game, 9-game leash of like, show us what you can do. Your job is not up for grabs for 9 weeks. You are the starting quarterback of the Giants for 9 weeks. They need to automatically extend that to like 12, 13. He needs the time. He needs to know that his job isn't up for grabs. It's not a competition. He is supposed to be the guy here. So we took him 6th overall, and it is probably the most agreed upon thing in NFL circles and fan conversations that Daniel Jones was one of the most overdrafted players in the NFL. He is not a 6th-round pick in any universe. 6th overall pick, I mean. But he has the tools.
I don't think that that's fair, dude. I don't think that that's fair. Because when you talk about a guy that was drafted, you know, any type of, like, below that, that turned out to be successful, like, what, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're taking a quarterback at all in the draft, at all, like, because of how important the position is, it's going to be higher. So automatically, that whole idea is biased. Do you know the point I'm trying to make here?
What about this past draft?
I don't remember. QBs
were not prioritized at all, and it was probably the same depth of quarterback as the Daniel Jones draft.
But skill-wise, who is the first pick overall in the Dimes draft? It was Baker, right? Pretty sure.
No, Daniel Jones went in...
Kyler?
2 years after that, or the year after that.
2018.
Was it 2018? It wasn't Baker. Baker
maybe
went
2019.
Baker, I'm pretty sure it was Baker, Saquon, and then the year after Saquon was drafted, Daniel Jones was drafted.
I think you're right.
My point is, Joe, you're trying to make a point about how he's not the most overdrafted, and yeah, he hasn't been put in a situation to succeed, and yes, he hasn't been given the time, and yeah, him getting hurt last year really, really kind of messed up his opportunity, but no one, we were never at risk of losing him in the draft. We could have taken him in like the 3rd round.
Dude.
He went sixth overall.
I do not remember this draft playing out like this, but you have Kyler Murray, who is easily, by far and away, the best prospect available. The thing that sucks. Oh, no, never mind. And then you have Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Clelin Ferrell, a DN to the Raiders, Devin White, and then Danny Dimes. And then the next quarterback taken after that is Dwayne Haskins at 15, and there isn't another quarterback taken in the first round. The next quarterback is Drew Lock. It's not like there was options, and the Giants had the sixth pick. So it's like,
what there weren't really options at quarterback, here? But in the same vein, it's not like anybody was going to take him, dude. Most of the other teams, Dexter Lawrence.
No. Okay, so they picked DeAndre Baker at 30.
Dexter Lawrence at
17. I guess, but they knew that the Redskins were looking for a quarterback, too.
And I think they said that they wanted Haskins.
It's such a toss-up, dude. I mean, hindsight.
Dude, he never had a great season. What did he play at Duke? He never had crazy stats. Like, I don't know why he was drafted so high. Nobody was talking about
it. But, dude, what is the NFL draft about? It's about physical tools, right? Tell me I'm wrong. It's about physical tools.
Yeah.
There's guys that were drafted high in the NFL draft this year as an edge rusher that only had, like, 3 or 4 sacks last year. That's fucking crazy. That's crazy. Who? I don't know. You're just making it up.
Yeah.
It might be Thibodeau.
No, it might be Thibodeau. Dude, Thibodeau was unbelievable his whole college career.
All right, dude. My point is that, dude, Danny Dimes runs a 4.5. He's way over 6 feet tall. He can throw the ball far. He could throw the ball on the run.
You just described Colin Kaepernick.
And Colin Kaepernick was extremely successful in the NFL until the kneeling thing happened. I just don't see how it's outlandish and outrageous for us to pick him at 6. Dude, we were looking for a quarterback. Eli was way washed up at that point. They picked a quarterback. I know it was Gettleman. I know that he's an idiot. But I'm not upset. It's
such an impossible situation. But we need to move on. We're doing the AFC East today.
Yes, nice.
Been trying to bust these out. We're starting with who was the first team that you sent me? I think it was the Jets.
It was the Dolphins, I think.
The Miami Dolphins. All right, so we're going to go down the line here. We have a couple different conversations when we're talking about the Dolphins. Just right off the bat. We could go down the line, but I don't think either of us believe in Tua.
Dude, can I please talk about Tua? This is one of my ranting points. And my, like, I feel like we should have, like, after we go through all the divisions, like, a bold call, bold prediction, like, that we both make separate ones. You know what I'm saying? And okay. Tua and the Dolphins not being as good as they are predicted to be is one of my bold calls, like way worse than predicted.
Yeah, but who's saying that they're going to be good?
Everyone and their mother.
Is it all Tyreek hype?
It's the fact that Brian Flores was a defensive minded coach, and the guy they have now is apparently an offensive genius. I forget what his name is.
Mike McDaniels from the Niners.
Okay. And then the fact that they have Jaylen Waddle fully healthy. The fact that they have Tyreek now, the fact that their defense was hot at the end of the season last year, Tua has another year under his belt, their offense is going to be different. And they signed Terron Armstead, who's one of the best O-linemen in the NFL.
Yeah, he's from the Saints, right?
But it's like, dude, I just don't see it. I understand that they won games last year, but I saw this post and I freaked the fuck out when I saw this because I was starting to hop on the Dolphins train until I saw this post. By the way, Tua had 2,600 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 10 picks last year, which is Daniel Jones is getting absolutely fucking shit on. And he's had better numbers than that over a full season. Davis Mills, these are almost exactly his numbers from last season. But the Dolphins' wins last year, they went on a 7-game win streak, I want to say. Or was it 6? I forget what it was. But they
I know they went streaking loss and win.
They beat New Orleans, the Jets twice, the Giants with Mike Glennon, Carolina, and Baltimore. And they lost to Jacksonville and Atlanta. So all the teams that I just said were bottom of the barrel last year, especially the Ravens toward the end of the season when they were basically a practice squad team.
Mm-hmm.
And if the hype is being built around the fact that Tua was able to win 8 games last season, and that this season there should be an improvement because of all the roster changes and the coaching changes, I think that that's fucking insane. That's like who is it? I think it's the NBA in like the summer league or the preseason plays like a Chinese professional team or something like that. It's just like so much worse team on the other side, especially the quarterbacks. This is the even worse part. Tyrod Taylor. These are the quarterbacks that Tua would be last year. Tyrod Taylor, Lamar Jackson with nobody else around him, Joe Flacco with the Jets, Cam Newton, PJ Walker with the Panthers. Or no, I forget what team.
Yeah, no, it was.
Mike Glennon with the Giants, Zach Wilson in his rookie year, and Ian Book. What team is Ian Book on?
He played one game for the Saints, yeah.
What is that?
I remember taking the Dolphins, the under and the Dolphins spread in that game. For some reason, they were dogs.
Unfucking believable. And like all the hype around the defense is based around this massive turnover like ratio that they had. It was like in that 7-game win streak. And it's like every single one of these quarterbacks is a backup or is not on a team this year. Cam Newton, PJ Walker's probably not on a team. Tyrod Taylor's the backup to Daniel Jones. Lamar is obviously great. Glennon, Ian Book. None of these guys are real quarterbacks. And their defense went off on him. I'm not impressed. All right, my rant is done. I'm sorry.
I loved it. Dolphins defense. What do we got on their defense?
Literally just that they faced those quarterbacks. Like, dude, they won. How many games did they win last year? I just have that Tua was 8-5.
I think they won.
He was the quarterback for that.
I think they went 8-9.
They started off 1-5, right?
I believe so.
I think they started off 1-5. Everybody was panicking about the Tua situation, and then they win 7 in a row. I think they go to 8-5.
They went 9-8.
So they get up to 8-5 and they're pushing for the playoffs and they go 1-3 the rest of the fucking season? Trash! Fucking garbage, dude. Garbage. I'm so fired up for the Dolphins to suck this year. I'm so fired up. And I think Tyreek is going to be doubled so hard. I think Jaylen Waddle is Jaylen Waddle maybe is a good fantasy option. But Tua is his fucking quarterback, dude. Get the fuck out of here. And Myles Gaskin is nowhere close to an RB1. But that's their RB1. Get the fuck out of here. I can't wait for them to suck. Me and Jack went through their schedule.
Dude, they went 1-7 to start the year.
That's yikes. Holy dick salad.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
They got shut out by the Bills in week 2, 35-0.
It's probably 28-0 in the first half. Then they probably ran the ball, couldn't run the ball, gave it back to the Dolphins. They couldn't fucking score. Fuck the Dolphins. I like Tua, dude. That one throw that he made in the championship game, remember that? Came in at halftime for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, guess who he threw that ball to?
Devontae Smith.
So,
hell of a moment. Hell of a moment. Up the left sideline, I remember, it was a fly route, blown coverage. See you later.
It's like, dude, we were never fans of college football in the 2000s or the 2010s. And it was probably like always like a wide range of like, oh, this player from here, and like, remember him from that. And oh, he threw it to this guy. Oh my God, I can't believe that was so long ago. For us, it's like all the players now, it's like either Georgia or Alabama. That's it. LSU.
LSU. All right. Well, me and Jack broke down the Dolphins' schedule. We have them losing to the Patriots badly. Dude, I we'll get to the Patriots.
Do you want to go through the whole schedule?
No, but I just want to highlight some of the, like, because, dude, we have them finishing 5-12, which might be like 3 or 4 wins less than the majority of the people. I mean, we have them losing to the Vikings and Steelers. I still, dude, it's been a couple weeks since we've done, since we did these, and I still feel good about that.
Yeah.
The Vikings and the Steelers, I feel that.
Dude, they also don't have a super easy schedule.
100%, dude. Especially the back half.
Dude, playing their own division, the Pats and the Bills, two great teams. Yeah, whoever says that the Pats are not going to be good is just
crazy.
Not paying attention.
It's a system. Mac Jones is a fill-in, just like fucking the receivers are in the Brady era.
So they're playing the AFC North, and it looks like the AFC West? No. And the NFC North.
Yeah.
I mean, the Packers, the Steelers, the Browns. You got a throw-in game of the 49ers and the Chargers. That's brutal.
Dude, we have them losing every game to the AFC North. Losing to the Ravens, losing to the Bengals, losing to the Steelers in week 7, and then losing to the Browns. Dude, week 10? Deshaun Watson is only suspended 6 fucking weeks. And NFL's still appealing it. And the NFLPA is suing the NFL for appealing it. Crazy, dude. But if Deshaun does play, that's a wash. We took the spread -6.5 for Cleveland. And I mean, dude, they have a 5-game stretch of the Niners, the Chargers, the Bills, the Packers, and the Patriots. How the fuck are they gonna get through this, dude? With Tua and Gaskin? Come on, dude.
No chance.
Tyreek is going to get his. I think that just yards after catch, Tyreek, he's going to get his. He might win them some games just with one play, bro. But
I've seen the diva wide receiver and how it plays out every single time. The quarterback is nothing without the receiver, and the receiver is nothing without the quarterback. And they're both trying to be like, look at me. And they're both idiots. It's all the coach and the team. It frustrates me so much. It's like, you got to this point being so driven and so grateful. And now you're like greedy and you think selfish. Everything goes to you. Yeah. It's like, what happens to these guys?
You good on the Dolphins? I'm
way beyond good, yeah.
Until the season.
Actually, I'm bad on the Dolphins, but let's move on.
The fucking NFL starts tomorrow, preseason. I know a lot of people don't like the preseason. I mean, it sucks because the first game that every team has, the first quarter, maybe only the first drive is played.
Okay, dude, when is the Giants game?
August 11th against the Pats.
It's Sunday.
Next Thursday. Today's the third. Not this Sunday. Next Thursday.
Why are we playing on Thursday?
We only have 3 preseason games this year. The Jags and whoever they're playing. I think it's the Raiders.
The Bengals and the Jets. It's the Pats, the Bengals, and the Jets.
Fired up. All right, let's move on to the fucking Jets. Zach Wilson, #2 pick overall last year. He's definitely smaller, dude. I'm not sold on him yet, dude. You want to talk about people not being sold on the Hall of Fame quarterback the Giants have at the helm? Zach Wilson, I am not sold on. He only had 2,300. He had a worse season than fucking Tua last year. a word. I mean, dude, it's the Jets.
He has way less to work with.
They so had
more ineptitude.
Five receivers between 431 yards and 538 yards, with 538 yards being their highest receiver, with Elijah Moore. I guess they were injured last year. Corey Davis and Elijah Moore were their top two, and they were both hurt. They only played 11 games. But Michael Carter, disappointed. They drafted him first round last year?
I think so. I still think he's got some potential.
Did. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. They did draft Breece Hall this year. So obviously they don't believe that much in Michael Carter. Like, I'd be fucking pissed off. You're going to draft me to this shitty organization in the first round to go side by side with the quarterback, and you're going to draft my replacement the next season when you gave me absolutely no chance of being successful? Fuck you. I'd be like, fuck you guys.
NFL's a business. I know it shouldn't always be like this, and the conversation shouldn't always resort to it, but NFL's a business. Go out there and prove that you could be a good running back, and somebody else will take you.
Michael Carter only had 600 yards last year and 4 touchdowns, and he had the lion's share of the carries. Dude, they were bad at fucking everything. Everything. Their offense was putrid. Their defense wasn't much better. Third worst in the NFL in allowing pass yards. They only had 7 picks the entire season. Yikes. 7th least sacks. Worst rating. I forget what that means. CHI? What the fuck would that mean? I don't know. Second most first downs. Dude, they're terrible. They're fucking terrible. Robert Saleh? Last year was his first year, or am I tripping, dude?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Dude, he has a deep resume. Seattle defensive quality control coach with the Legion of Boom. Won a Super Bowl with them. 49ers DC when they went to the Super Bowl twice. I mean, dude. Wait, they went to the Super Bowl twice? No, they went once. They went to the NFC Championship. But, dude, he knows what he's doing on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm pretty sure they drafted heavily defensively this year. Oh, they drafted Sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And they drafted
Sauce and Breece.
And Jermaine Johnson, 26. I feel like that was one of those guys that
I wanted that guy. The draft. Dude, it's like, I don't know. What other draft pick did we have besides 5 and 7? I think we might have had a chance at that Jermaine Johnson guy, and we passed on him. Oh, yeah, and then we got Wandale.
He looks good in training camp so far. I mean
everybody looks good in training camp right now.
Not true. they did draft Garrett Wilson 10th overall, though, and Breece Hall 36 overall. So I guess they went both sides, but they definitely picked some. They had a good draft, dude. 4 picks in the top 36. They had a good draft. So I guess that sounds good. Their O-line was pretty solid last year without 2 of their best guys. And yeah, dude, I guess move on to the schedule. There's really not much to really dig into here. We have them finishing 5-12, ironically the same record as the Dolphins. Yikes. We have them beating the Browns in week 2, because no matter what, Deshaun's not going to be there. We have them beating the Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Seahawks. So it's pretty much the bottom feeder wins. That's really all we have to say, dude. I don't see the Jets really having a big season. Like, what would be significant? Like, what would be a good season in your eyes for the Jets?
Just small player improvements. Milestones included. Just small improvements. Either decide whether. I think the Jets are a defensive team. I think they're a defense-first kind of squad. I think they were when they were good, when they had Sanchez. I mean, at that time, they also had Rex Ryan. But this Saleh guy is also from defensive background.
Yeah, they have to be better.
So they got to have a good defense. I don't know if Zach Wilson was ever a good pick. But
BYU, it's another small school, dude.
Dude, we'll see. They might turn into like the Ravens or the Browns of the past couple of years with like A lot of play action, a lot of running, and good defense.
All right.
They don't really have a lot of potential.
Yeah, dude. It's definitely a start from scratch situation. It's all on Zach Wilson, dude. If he could throw for like 3,500 yards, he only completed 55% of his passes.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
And 9 touchdowns, 11 picks. There's a lot of room for improvement there, Vice. A lot of room. Let's see if he could pull it off. All right. Let's move on to the people that actually matter. The Patriots and the Bills.
I am getting so tired. What is happening to me? The New England Patriots. I can't believe Mac Jones had almost 4,000 yards last year.
Especially in such a run-heavy offense. But look at, dude, already, he was a rookie last year, too. And I guess this is a tribute to Belichick and the system, but, he completed 67% of his passes.
Holy shnikes.
22 touchdowns, 13 picks. The 13 picks were probably expected.
That is so system quarterback.
Yeah. But 3,800, dude, that's an average of over 200 yards a game for a heavy running team. Dude, Damian Harris almost had 1,000 yards last year, but he had 15 touchdowns. And him and Stevenson both averaged 4.6 yards per carry last year, which is really fucking good, especially for dual backs. Most of the time you have one guy that gets the more favorable in-space runs and averages over 5, and the other guy's more of the grinded up the middle, 3 yards of carry guy. But these guys both ran the ball well last year. The receiving core is nothing to call home about. Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, like we said earlier, they traded N'Keal Harry. But dude, like we said before, I don't even know why I'm saying this, dude. It's a system.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The guys are going to be in the right spots, and that's all that matters, dude.
You could put in Mark Dent and Buzz Flibbit. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Buzz Flibbit. You remember that guy?
Yeah, I do, actually. He played one game for the Jets. Oh, we know how that goes. Now, the thing that I love, though, about the Patriots is their fucking defense, dude. Second in the NFL in points per game allowed, 17.8, dude. Any offense in the NFL should be able to score more than 17 points in a game. And when your defense is holding the other team to that, you got a good chance to win a lot of football games.
And they only went 10-7 last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they won 12 games this year.
Wow. Well, we got to look at their schedule after. Remember, they're playing the same division as the Jets and the Dolphins are. But they were top 5 in every single passing category last year. And they were 22nd in the league in allowing rush yards, but they led up the least amount of rush TDs, only allowed 9 rushing touchdowns last year. That's red zone defense. Mm-hmm. That's stopping the other team when it fucking matters, dude. Mm-hmm. PFF ranked them 2nd best overall defense. And then their O-line is
strong. It's just something you never saw coming.
Never. I don't even, dude, I can't name one player on that defense.
I thought that they were so average / subpar. Oh
my God, yeah, dude. Especially, dude, it's like the whole Brady leaving situation. It's like you thought that they were going to take this steep drop.
Dude, and I guarantee that Belichick, even though they let him go, they let Brady go and all that, and water under the bridge. He definitely didn't want all this blowback about Brady. He never wants any of that stuff, but he didn't seek it out. Brady just brings that story with him, whether he wants it or not. And Belichick's just I'm going to keep doing this thing and keep my winning ways. That whole Cam Newton experiment kind of hurt his rep a little bit, but
it was a bridge.
Dude, they got Mac right back in and they're good.
Their offense is, their offensive line is really fucking solid too. It's just all the foundational things that really make a football team good. They are good at, and I'm a big fan of the Patriots, you know, the Tom Brady-less Patriots. So we have them finishing 11-6, one game improvement from last year. We have them losing to the Packers at Lambeau in week 4. And then they have a really nice stretch of 4 of the worst teams in football with the Lions, Browns, Bears, and Jets. And then they host the Colts. Dude, I saw 2 or 3 power ranking articles today that had the Colts going far. Like, we reviewed the Colts and Jack's really high on them. I'm so, but wait, dude, we reviewed the Colts.
Yeah,
on the podcast.
We did that last podcast.
Yeah. I think we had the Colts actually go 12-5. Their schedule's a little bit easier. But we have them losing to the Colts here. And then we have them losing to the Bills, losing to the Cardinals, losing to the Bengals, and losing to the Bills. Dude, I don't feel good about the Cardinals anymore. At all.
I never did, really. I hate to be that guy, like, oh, I saw it coming and, like, give me credit. Not even like that. It's just, dude, Kyler Murray. He has statistics that prove, dude, PMT, Big Cat.
I know what you're going to say. I was just going to say this. Say it.
I think in November every year is when the new COD comes out and his numbers visibly drop fantasy football wise. Like, he starts out in the first, like, 6, 7, 8 weeks of the season. He's lights out. He's awesome. They're winning games. And then as soon as the new COD comes out, maybe he pays a little bit less attention to the playbook. You know, that little clause that got put in and then taken out of his new contract. It's kind of embarrassing.
Really embarrassing situation for both sides in the Cardinals organization. But yeah, dude, I was literally going to say I don't feel good about the Cardinals because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's going to be stats that prove that this is true, like, I don't trust you anymore, dude. Especially because the playoffs are at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals are playing the Patriots in week 14. So, dude, I don't know. I could actually see Belichick outsmarting the fuck out of Kyler. Are you yawning?
Cliff Kingsbury? Yes, I am yawning. I can't stop.
All right, let's move on to the Bills so that Jack can go to sleep or whatever. He's not going to go to sleep. All right. Josh Allen is the favorite to win the NFL MVP this year by a good amount. Last year, he had 4,400 yards, 36 touchdowns, 15 picks. But he also had 763 rush yards and 6 rush touchdowns. Absolute beast.
Could this be Daniel Jones?
It is Daniel Jones this season. Devin Singletary, dude, I am a big, like, when the Patriots beat the Bills last year in that snow game, it was embarrassing being a fan for the Bills' sake, like, listening to the commentators say they need to run the ball. They need to run the ball. They need to run the ball. It's snowing. They need to establish the running game. And they just refuse to run the ball. I'm pretty sure they were like 75-25 pass to run in a snowstorm.
Yeah, I think Allen had – I'm going to look it up right now, but I think Allen had 45 pass attempts.
Probably. And for them to only – like that is just purely – they don't have confidence whatsoever in the run game. And Devin Singletary had 870 last year with 7 touchdowns.
Oh, he was 15 for 30 with 145 and a tutter.
I guess they just like...
Mac Jones, on the other hand, 2 for 3 for 19 yards.
Yeah, dude. That was one of the coolest stat lines I've ever seen, especially because the Bills have, like, the best defense in the NFL. And the Patriots just, like, ran it for 4 or 5 yards every single play of the fucking game.
What was the next thing you wanted to know? About how much they ran the ball, the Bills?
Yeah.
So, quick math. 75 plus 24. Okay, 99. 99 total yards Rushing. Allen with 6 attempts, Singletary with 10, Zach Moss with 8, and Matt Breida with 1.
How many yards did you say? 99 total?
Yeah.
Yikes, dude. Yikes. Yikes.
That means you had 244 all-purpose yards as a team.
That's fucking.
That's like the Giants.
The Giants are worse, or were worse last year. So two things I want to say about these Bills. They drafted a running back, I'm pretty sure. We don't
Dalvin Cook's anymore. Brother, James Cook.
And apparently he looks really good, and he's getting reps in the first team. And Dawson Knox had a breakout season last year in my eyes. I think the last couple games of the season.
I think he's going to be a touchdown machine this year.
He had 9 last year. He definitely had 6 in the last.
That's a sneaky 9 touchdowns.
Right? And then, dude, Gabriel Davis, to me, is like the perfect. Like, it. What I'm saying about him is I understand that the only thing I know about him is that he had 3 touchdowns in that Chiefs game. That's pretty much all I know. I didn't pay attention to a single thing he did last year except when he had those 3 touchdowns. But he has the size, the speed, the hands, now the experience in the offense to be a perfect 2 to Stephon Diggs. You have Josh Allen, the best quarterback in the NFL right now. You have the running game is going to be better. You have Stephon Diggs, top 5 receiver in the league, as the 1. And Gabriel Davis as a big, athletic, strong, fast number 2. Dude, I'm telling you, he's going to have a big year this year. I'm telling you. There's going to be a lot of attention on Diggs. Either way, both, dude, and Dawson Knox. Dude, I'm telling you, they are going to be so good this year. Everybody knows that, but I'm telling you, Gabriel Davis is going to be the biggest beneficiary. Okay. The defense is ranked 1st on PFF. They allowed the worst, completion percentage, the least amount of passing touchdowns, the 5th most picks. Like, they were good at literally everything. They allowed a 65 passer rating. They allowed the least amount of first downs. They allowed the worst first down percentage on drives. Like, every single stat they could possibly go through, they were amazing at. So, Jack, do you think that the Bills have what it takes to make it to the Super Bowl this year?
Yes. It's no accident that they are the favorites. As soon as this past Super Bowl ended, the Bills, right on top. Josh Allen, MVP next year. Dude, they have all the tools. And it's like, I didn't even know how good their defense was last year. And they were phenomenal all year. And they didn't lose anybody, I don't think.
Yeah.
And they have the best quarterback in the league probably this year. And they added runners to their team. And, dude, they're going to be an absolute force. And the fact that they get to kind of feed off of 2 teams in their division, it's 4 wins. And then I guess we're about to go through their schedule, but there's not a lot of teams in this league that can beat them. I mean, they play the Rams 1. And then after that, they
look good, dude. They
Their schedule is kind of tough.
No, dude.
Dude, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs back-to-back weeks is not easy.
The Steelers, I could see competing with teams that have a suspect middle-of-the-pack quarterback and a middle-of-the-pack defense, which, I mean, makes sense. But I think that defense is good enough, and that offense with Big Ben last year was good enough to win football games. So, like,
I don't think they can. It's not just the wins and losses that I consider. It's the in-game, like, how hard was this game to win? And Tomlin and the Steelers, there's a reason that they haven't had a negative record the entire times that he's there. They will compete in every single game. I guarantee that just like Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, I didn't say this before when we did the Steelers, but I guarantee Kenny Pickett's going to be another system quarterback that fills that role. He can get the job done. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
And if Najee, you know, like, they're going to have a solid run game. They're going to have a solid defense, and I'm pretty sure their O-line is good. So it's like those foundational system things, dude.
That'd be so funny, because the AFC North is like the defense division. Like, the Browns have a good defense. The Ravens have always had a good defense. The Steelers have always had a good defense. And then the Bengals. Bengals are kind of the odd bird, because those three teams that I just named, great running teams. And then you have the Bengals. They're pass.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mixon can definitely hold his own, but he's the only one. Joe Burrow's not a running quarterback. You know, they don't have a number two.
But no, what I'm saying is, like, they're like a at least 60% pass team, and they have unlimited weapons and a great passing quarterback.
Yeah, definitely a different style team. But, dude, yes, their first 6 weeks are all possible playoff teams. It's the Rams, it's the Titans, it's the Dolphins, which...
We just talked about them, yeah. You know how we feel, fans.
The Ravens, I think, will be able... I think the Bills' defense will be able to handle the Ravens. I think the Bills' defense can handle the Titans. I think the Bills' defense... Dude, Bills Chiefs is the new classic. Like, when was the last time they had a game that wasn't a down to the wire, this is the best players in the world playing against each other type of game? That's going to be unbelievable.
Ooh, once the Rams hit their bye week, dude, you wrote a Packers. Packers would win that game. I vehemently disagree. And I think they easily win their first five games after the bye. Even with Deshaun on the Browns.
Yeah.
Patriots, that's going to be a test.
The Browns.
But they cruise through the rest of the year, besides the Patriots.
Yeah, dude, big time. Holy shit.
Which could be bad. It could bode poorly for them heading into the playoffs, playing like lower competition teams. I mean, the Patriots will be a great tune-up game right before the playoffs start, but who knows if Josh Allen and the starters will even be playing in that one. They have the Bengals before that, but then Bears, Dolphins, Jets going in backwards order, add the Lions to that.
The Browns, the Vikings, the Jets. I mean, dude, if, like, let's just say they split with the Patriots, and then they split the playoff team, win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll call the...
12 and 5.
I guess, yeah, dude. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if they beat all the teams that they should, like the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Browns, all those teams, and then they split the playoff team games, then they're fuck yeah, 12-5, 13-4, 14-3, 15-2. Like, that's possible. Dude, there's not going to be a game. Maybe the Chiefs or the Rams that they are not favored. But I don't know why they wouldn't be favored.
But when you talk about the best teams in this league, dude, the Chiefs took a massive downturn last year. They went on a massive winning streak. I think it was like something like 8 games. But, yeah. Dude, when you're the best team in the league in the NFL, it's not really surprising when you have like 2-3 losses on the entire season. How many years in a row have the Packers gone like 12-4, 13-3 before the 17-game schedule? The Chiefs the other year when they won the AFC won the AFC entirely, they went like 14-2. It's like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills absolutely ran rampant on the entire rest of the NFL this year.
So I just wanted to check the Bills-Rams. The Bills are favored in that game.
Yeah.
On the road.
I feel like they're younger, too.
They are younger, too. The Rams are those, like, the Von Millers, the Aaron Donalds.
There's no way they did not retain Von Miller.
They did, dude.
No way. I'm looking it up right now.
I think it's either them or the Broncos.
Dude.
What?
Dude.
Is he on the Giants?
He's on the Bills.
Oh my God! What the fuck? How did we miss that? Jesus Christ, dude. He's getting after it. Against the Rams week one in LA? Dude,
he's had some really rough looks in his career. Yikes. All right. So we have their projected final record at 13-4. Dude, by the time we finish all these previews, I mean, we're going to be running well into the preseason, even though we only have four more divisions left. Do you want to do like predictions for who wins the Super Bowl? Do you want to do who wins the AFC chip now that we've projected the whole AFC right now?
Sure.
Do you want to make like a little stipulation that you can't pick the Bills?
I guess. I think it's going to be either the Chiefs, the Chargers. Actually, that's probably it. Should I throw the Pats in there?
Or the Colts.
Or the Colts. Fuck. I think a lot of the Colts season relies on Jonathan Taylor's success. And then obviously Matt Ryan. But the Bengals, dude. Fuck. I think the Bengals were on one of those New York Giants runs.
Yeah.
Not
that they can't have sustained success, yeah. But they're not going to win like the AFC. Like, dude, what is it called when you have the best record in the AFC? It's not the AFC title because that's the championship.
The pennant?
This isn't baseball, dude.
I'm just asking.
I don't know. I don't think they're ever going to be the team with the best record in the AFC in any given year. They're going to be there. They're probably going to make the playoffs for a lot of the years that Joe Burrow is their quarterback. But,
dude, you know the. Okay. Just listen to what I'm saying I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying in general. Just tell me how you feel about this. The Bills are minus 116 against the Rams week. You think that's good? I think that's good.
Based on everything. The spread? 1.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Bengals are minus 300 favorites against the Steelers. That might be a take the fucking Steelers spread game.
So I think last year, you and me weren't super well versed in how the NFL makes their lines and everything. And it's really hard to pick teams, especially with like the crazy long money lines. But they're severely overvaluing the Bengals over their divisional opponent.
That's what I'm saying.
Like minus what, 350?
Minus 300.
Yeah, no, I still think that's too much. They're probably going to win, but like, what's the spread? Like 7.5? Okay.
All right, next. Eagles at Detroit. Eagles are minus 205. 4.5 spread.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think if that game is week 10 instead of week 1, I think that that's a heavier spread. All right. Colts over the Texans minus 375. With an 8 spread, that's good. Saints minus, dude, I forgot what the Saints are. We're going to get to the Saints. Saints minus 215.
It's Jameis season, baby.
Yes, man! Wait. Here it goes. Ready? Really fire?
Giants plus 6.5.
No. The Patriots are dogs in Miami. What the fuck is going on, dude? This is what I'm talking about. The Patriots are dogs. Unfucking believable.
I'm appalled.
I'm appalled. I'm hammering. I'm hammering. Let's check out the alt spread.
Oh my god. Dude, so we're all good on the Bills, right?
Yeah, I'm going through week one. Let me finish this over.
Oh my goodness.
Ravens minus 245 against the Jets. Browns, Panthers are even. Yikes. Return of Baker Mayfield. He might be on the bench. Yikes. Dude, I watched an hour-long documentary on Trey Lance last night. And I think differently about the 49ers now, dude. I'm fired up.
You think he's going to be good or bad?
Really good.
Dude.
49ers are minus 270 against the Bears. Commanders are minus 200 against the Jags.
Why do we think that Trey Lance is going to be good?
Just watch the documentary. Maybe it's never. Because I feel emotional.
I don't have the attention span.
Raiders plus 160 against the Chargers. Let's go. Let's go, dude. Chargers are probably like fourth most favorited to win the Super Bowl. And the Raiders are a light minus 3.5 or plus 3.5. Let's go, dude. Let's fucking go. On the road, too. You're a dick. Giants plus 230 against the Titans. That's a huge. Let's flip.
Are we just going to totally like the whole year just like hammer Giants money line? Hammer Giants money line.
Probably spreads. That's the safer play because they're always going to be heavily dogs. So plus 6.5.
I can't wait to see the Giants like down 3 with like the fourth quarter starting and it's like 24 to like 21. And it's like, oh my God, we're in a football game.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Chiefs minus 164 against the Cardinals. I'm hammering the Chiefs.
Cards are going to get a lot of credit. They're not that good, though.
D-Hop is out. Pack and Kirk is gone. Packers minus 132 against the Vikings. What's happening? Tampa Bay minus 134 against the Cowboys.
That's a treat of a week one game. Yeah. Is that Sunday Night Football?
8:20. Yeah.
Yeah. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Buck on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, what are you saying? Football.
Shut up. Sorry.
Right. And to round out week one, Broncos at Seahawks. Broncos are only a minus 215 favorite with Russell Wilson abound against Drew Lock. Thanks. Okay, I can't wait for that day. September 8th is when I'll put in my 16-legger. And I'll be ready to rock and roll.
But tomorrow we got the Jaguars versus...
And the Raiders!
I already hammered the Jags. Money line. Opposite of the Giants, I'll probably be taking the other team's spread against the Raiders all year. It's going to be awesome.
You're an asshole.
Nah. I just have to prove a point, you know? It's like when Sharif said Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. It's get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
The Raiders are not good.
Yeah, they are, dude. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. It's 10 o'clock. Where are your kids at?
Thank heaven. Smell the coffee.
Yeah. All right, well, the Pirates tied it up against the Brewers. And we're going to wrap it up, Jack.
Thanks for listening to the Sync Boys podcast. Follow us on Instagram at CINQ Boys. Follow us on Twitter at CINQ Boys. If you want to learn more about the boys, and go to our website at Think Boys Sports Betting and News Podcast.com.
The long domain, but you know, we get it done. Just Google Think Boys and then open it. Yes, please.
Yes, please. All right, this is signing off. Have a great day. Go Giants.
Daniel Jones is a Hall of Famer.